Sci Center, March 2, 2025.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the study circle. So I have shared the quote on Slack for everybody at home. I posted it Friday, hoping everyone might get a little bit of time to sit with it. I had actually picked this quote. I thought I was doing my study circle a few weeks ago. So I've been sitting with it for a while, and I think it's really beautiful. I'm excited to open it up with everybody tonight. I wanted to start by sharing why or how I came to pick this quote for my study circle. I had been dealing with something that had changed, a situation in my life that had changed, and I very much didn't want that change to happen. And I was very much struggling with resisting against that change and trying to cling on to keeping things the same that they had been. And yet, that clearly wasn't working. The change was meant to be, needed to happen. So I really wanted some inspiration on how to accept this change and how to drop this attachment to what had been and open up room for what was going to be. So when I found this quote, it sat in my heart and seemed like it had some wisdom I could contemplate on, and I am happy to report. I do think after sitting with this quote for a while and making Cavi's study circle it with me most every day, I do think through sitting with this quote, I definitely found some acceptance of the situation that I hadn't had before. So I'm very grateful for that. And I do think that I was able to see truly the folly of clinging on to something when it's clear it's all going to change. So that felt big for me too. And my idea for approaching this, to opening it up together, is I thought I would read it all together. But I have underlined three sentences that really sat with me. And I thought that once I read the whole quote, I will read each of those sentences one at a time and give everybody a few minutes to contemplate sentence by sentence on those that I underlined. And then I would love for us all to share what we get from it or any questions, because I still have questions for sure. So hopefully that works for everybody. Life sustained by food is short. Life sustained by the divine spirit is eternal. Do not lay claim to long life, but to divine life. Do not pine for more years on earth, but for more virtues in the heart. Everything is grief. Everything is empty. Everything is brief. Everything is polluted. So the wise man has to do the duties cast upon him with discrimination, diligence, and detachment. Play the role, but keep your identity unaffected. Have your head in the forest ashram, which means retreat, unaffected by the aimlessly rushing world. But it is your duty, a duty you cannot escape, to fully engage yourself in your work, unconcerned with loss or gain, failure or success, slander or praise. And that is quotes from Life, Death, and Liberation, page 19. Of course, dear Sai Baba. So the first sentence that I would love for us to contemplate on, I'll read it, and maybe we can take a few minutes and see what we get from it, is this. Everything is grief. Everything is empty. Everything is brief. Everything is polluted. This one for me, everything is empty. Everything is brief. Really, really sitting with that. It's so obvious, and it's really so dumb, I think, to try to cling to something and to not accept the changes and to accept what is and what is going to be. I'm not quite sure about everything is grief and everything is polluted. So if anybody is able to open that up, but I would love to hear your experience with these four sentences.
For me, it reminds me of not just things being temporary, but also the nature of life that everything brings the opposite. So even when it's joyful, not only it's temporary, then it brings something with it. So pollution and grief, to me, is temporariness and duality. That is inevitable. We can't change it.
For the everything is grief, I feel that that goes perfectly with what Sat said, how being a human is painful. And that everything is empty or everything is brief. For me, anything that doesn't have to do with is empty. And it's brief because that experience continues to linger. Even after I leave here or whatever I'm doing, if I'm not with my mind. So that's how I...
Initially, this quote to me seemed a little harsh, honestly, being honest. I was like, wow. When I looked at it more, because there has to be more than ow. He's not trying to hurt me. I realized that I think what he's saying aligns with what I've heard from Sat too, and I'm not quoting, but to have no expectation. When we have no expectation, that is when the grace can move through us. That was more digestible to me.
They were just, that sentence, that part really just supported the first sentence, which is that life is sustained by the divine spirit is eternal. And for me, this quote, it was more of inspiration to spend more time this way than this way, and by contemplating all week, I really feel like more and more when things were coming out here, I would want to go this way more and more. And to me, that's what that part really meant for me, was support of that. And as a result, I feel like there's just a little more okayness. It was a really interesting time, but that's what I got from this. It was really look this way and within, just what we've been, you know, learning. I was just in support of that.
So the next sentence, I'll read it and I'll give just a few minutes for us to reflect on it. Play the role, but keep your identity unaffected. So for me, when I sat with this one and I really tried to contemplate on what does it mean to play the role unaffected, I'm sorry, to keep my identity unaffected, play the role but keep my identity unaffected, I kept seeing this analogy where, like, let's take as a mother, if I play the role but I lose my true identity, I believe that I only have the worldly options with which to operate and solve and guide and whatever I'm trying to do in that moment. For me though, when I remember my true identity and the source and where everything truly comes from and where to turn, that's the most important thing I can do for as a mother. So while I have to play the role and I have to do these things, as long as I can remember, especially when I need guidance or I feel lost or I feel upset, to go here and not to, you know, search in the bazaar for that solution. That's what it was looking like for me. What about for you guys? What do you take from this?
For me, this whole quote reminds me of the acceptance of who really we are and not going behind who I am not, which are the roles, the various roles that I play.
When I was thinking about it, for me it's not to resist when I'm playing a role, and as soon as I have an opportunity to retreat and go back and do something for me to nourish myself, to be able to play the role effortlessly without resistance and getting lost.
For me, when I see this line, when I'm rushing my everyday role I'm playing with my daughter as a mom, when I lose my calmness. There is a reminder comes in. This is not the way you're supposed to be. So that reminder, it keeps me very connected to my source. And I try to acknowledge and accept my mistakes immediately, even if it is Kaira. So that witness, it's helping me to grow step by step. When I fall, like Seth said, it always tells me, I used to condemn myself, but nowadays if I fall, I'm raising above because my witness is helping me to connect with my source. So thank you, Seth, for that.
For me, there are two ways that I experience this. One is like when Seth says, first be, then do, right? If I have to do something that's going to, like, you know, that I have feelings about or I'm anxious about, but it's to do an are you with me, or to just stop and to have quiet, or do an omnipresent or trust and then go and do it is one way. And then on the other side, if something happens that gets my attention or is going to, that's shaking me, is to stop, to be okay with what's going on, and then to really practice consciously to bring myself back. I had two ways that I could experience this.
Something that helps me when I get caught up in a fear or a worry is to put my hand on my heart, and I feel that totality, and I thank it truly. I'm truly thankful, because in that moment there's nothing else that exists. Just this perfection, this okayness. I think that also for me is playing the role but keeping the identity unaffected.
For me, it's very similar to Kathy. Then, before I start doing my duty, then I have that connection with a few minutes of silence, or are you with me? Helps me to remember and don't so much involve and believing that everything is real during the day.
I will read the final line I had underlined and give us time to contemplate. Final one was, but it is your duty, a duty you cannot escape, to fully engage yourself in your work, unconcerned with loss or gain, failure or success, slander or praise. So for me, when I was looking at this line, I think, honestly, because of Sat's teachings and the path and so many, but kick the ball, I am so much more able to do my work just fully immersed in it and not so concerned with the outcome or failure or success. I do still sometimes get caught up on slander or praise. I don't particularly like to be slandered. And I was curious, I would love to know your experience with this, but also the question I had on this one as well was, what does unaffected by slander or praise really mean, to be unaffected by it?
For me, this opened up to trust meditation. I love this part. I was thinking myself, my life before trust meditation, like where I'd be like, holding Swami and like, I want the answer in this way, I want the success in this way, and then I'll be praying every day. It was painful. But after Sat opened up the trust meditation, that's when I was able to let go of the outcome, whether it is praise or like success or failure. So once I surrender, I myself, I'll say like, okay, you Swami, you take care. I'm not going to worry about the thing. But I will do my duty sincerely towards it. That's very helpful. And thanks to Seth for having me.
Yeah, that was a very good point. Because we're not sitting here to learn not take the praise and blame, the same, lost and this and that, as a human, it's impossible. And if we do it, we do it forcefully. But to surrender into the promise, and promise saying that I take care of it if you don't take thought. Right there, you're no longer a human. You have transcended your humanhood. And when you transcend your humanhood, nothing else matters. Even if your progress doesn't mean anything. Progress for who? So you said the crux of the matter that I felt too, that the whole thing is not to so much analyze word by word by what Baba is saying, but to transcend it by dropping the concern over and over into the well of the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient self. We have to put self in the end of it to make it closer to our heart. And as you were reading this quote, I remember I was in the ashram when someone was telling me about a talk that person had with Baba. He went to Baba and said, "Baba, look at the world. It's this way and that way and this way. And what should we do? How can I help?" And Baba says, "There is not an iota of wrong with the world. There is nothing wrong with the world." So as a human, there is everything wrong with the world. As a divine, there is nothing but purity. So again, we go back to trust and omnipresent meditation and satsang, of course. That's my two cents on it. Before we go on our bhajan, I like to say that there is nothing more important that all of us that we get together on Sundays here, that we fully take advantage of Baba's love in the form of bhajan, in the form of study circle, in the form of being present in the room. Our love, our understanding, the decoration, the flowers you guys bring. Having said that, please write to Kavi if there is anything you want change in a study circle that you would benefit more, whether it's the method of it, the topic of it, the person of it. Please don't feel shy or thinking that you're offending someone or you shouldn't be given an idea. I really appreciate new ideas. We decided to change it every week. Somebody come. But if you guys have a better idea, I'm running out after 40 years.
Thank you so much.
Anybody would like to share the highlight of their day?
After a few people share the highlight of their day, Seth says,
"My highlight is, we were saying the prayer. I have such a gratitude toward Baba for having this place for us. I really did. So it goes with yours. That was my highlight really today. With this lights and this atmosphere for so many years, it's just, what a gift. We deserved. It was given to us in this lifetime."
So can I share something?
Mm-hmm.
Last week I felt that this is no ordinary center. I felt always. But last week it was so strong, just like a stamp from mm-hmm. Baba. Because like when I was discussing with Kavi on study circle, I was so inspired from whatever you said, 2 weeks back, of the omnipresence, mm-hmm. and we have to hear Swami's teaching of seeing divinity,
yes.
within ourselves, and that was the topic. And Wednesday early morning, I had a very beautiful dream of Baba, and initially I couldn't understand what was the dream about, because it was in Prashanthi Narayan Mandir where Baba used to sit.
Yes.
Baba asked me to sit on the lady's side on the pedestal. I was sitting facing the crowd and I was trembling. Why I was chosen to sit here.
Where he sits and faces.
Yeah, near him on the lady's side. And I was uh-huh. why should I sit here? And the whole crowd is facing me. And my family is giving me a weird look. Why are you sitting here? out of indiscipline. Everything, you're sitting here. So who asked you to sit? And I was trembling. And Swami was sitting there. And Satya is singing a bhajan. She's singing it really wrong. And if she does that, Swami walks away. And I was like, oh my God, Satya, sing good so that Swami stays. I was about to get up, Sevadar came and told me that, no, Swami wants you to talk today. I was like, I'm not prepared. It's Swami's decision. Then I was like, I don't know. I was really trembling. And I was bending like this to see Swami. And Swami was doing this to me. I was doing this to Swami and he was doing this to me back. And I called my daughter so that I don't tremble. And I asked her, see Swami, do this namaskara. And she was doing this. Swami was again doing this. Then I was like, Swami, you're playing with me now. And again I was doing this. And Swami was he showed this. And
I got goosebumps.
Yeah, I shared, as soon as I woke up in joy, in tears. Yeah. The day was so divine. And I called my dad and I was like, why should Swami do this to me? Because it's my respect to him, and why should he do that back to me again? And my dad told, don't you remember in the final darshan, Swami's final action was this to everyone. That was his final darshan.
Yes, say namaste to them.
Yeah, to everyone. And then I had that, and I thought okay, Swami is telling me the quote that I selected for this Sunday is what it is to be, to mm-hmm. see divinity mm-hmm. in myself and in everyone, and that's what he's trying to say me. And while I was contemplating on it and reading articles, suddenly in the internet an article came from Baba's photographer who took his last picture, and it was about that picture the same day night.
Mm.
And the exact word that he told in his blog is we did not understand that Swami is asking, Swami is telling that we are all God, and he's telling to see the divinity within ourselves. And that is what Swami's last namaste was. Mm-hmm. And Swami is asking to see him in our own heart.
Yeah, as soon as you were saying it, I was feeling that he is really impressed by the fact that now you're searching to unite with him, with his reality, as yourself. And encouraging you that what you're doing is right. Because we get lost in devotion. I was lost in devotion and pushed out of the womb. And it was very painful. But I got so much encouragement like you did that I started having more courage to even voice it. It was anti-religion or whatever you call it, to say that I am also God, divinity. And one time, just like yourself, I had experiences in dream, but what was significant is that in one of my classes, what came out of my mouth was actually anti-religion is when we limit God as a separate entity, and we don't see his allness that encompasses our own being, that is limiting God. That is being against religion. And from then on, I felt like it's okay. It's okay to go back home. It's not easy, but it's very okay. That was beautiful.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, this series of things, right? Around Shivaratri, which Shivaratri is the symbol of the vase, the screen. They call it a destruction, but actually it is a passive vase.
Put our hand on our heart
and acknowledging our existence, no separate from omnipresent.